Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, Diana Steele is a registered dietitian, the owner of Eating for Energy. It's a nutritional consulting company in around Vancouver. Diana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about, we're talking about sugar today. Tell us a little bit about, how you got interested in thinking about sugar and what are some of the things that people are not aware about?
Sure. Well, actually, it's the World Health Organization that sort of prompted this, and there's been a lot of stuff in the media recently. When you see how much sugar people are actually consuming and the risks of consuming a diet high in sugar, you know, too much sugar in your diet has been linked with an increased risk for obesity, and with that, therefore, increasing your risk for diabetes, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, even Alzheimer's is being linked to excess sugar consumption and some types of cancer.
How did you get interested to become a dietitian?
Well, actually, I went into sciences thinking I was going to be a doctor and decided that I also wanted to have some balance in my life. I think it sort of goes along hand in hand with my philosophy on eating, which is, you know, the 80-20 rule. So you need to have good balance. And I thought, I want to help people, but I want to also have balance in my life. So being a dietitian was the perfect option. And of course, I'm passionate about food.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about sugar. You know, when I read the side of a pop or the side of a drink or, you know, sometimes even juices, they list the sugars, and sometimes it'll say, you know, source of glucose. Sometimes it'll say fructose. Sometimes it'll say, some other things. What are all sugars equal? Are they all the same? Should we be avoiding some?
Well, sugars are all part of sort of an umbrella term called carbohydrates. And within carbohydrates, we have sugars, starches, and fibers. And starches are actually broken down into sugars in our bodies. And there are all kinds of different sugars that we use in our bodies. The most common ones you'll see in food products would be glucose, glucose fructose, or just fructose, sucrose, galactose, lactose, which is found in milk. And so some of them are found naturally in foods, and they come along with all kinds of health benefits. So you're going to get a lot of vitamins and minerals when you're eating an orange, for example, or drinking a glass of milk or unsweetened almond milk. Those kinds of things are great sources of carbs. But when you have a food that has added sugar to it, you're just getting extra calories and extra energy without added nutrients in those foods. And that's where I think the main concern needs to be. The World Health Organization is recommending that we reduce our added sugars to no more than 5 to 10% of our total calorie intake per day. Assuming you're eating a 2,000 calorie diet, that's going to be between 25 and 50 grams of sugar, which when you look at a can of pop, well, you're going to blow your budget in a can.
Okay, so you're saying that if we drink a 355 ml Coke or Sprite or something else, I don't even want to name them all, that we're going to have our daily amount of sugar right there.
According to the World Health Organization's guidelines, because they're fairly strict, yes, you could easily blow your budget. You know, there's 9 teaspoons of sugar in a can of Coke.
Wow.
But Canadians are still consuming more than that. Canadians are still consuming on average, 26 teaspoons of sugar per day, which if you look at that in a full year, that's going to be about 20 bags of sugar, those 2 kilo bags, 20 bags of sugar in a year.
Now,
it's staggering.
It is staggering to think about that. And what is the effect of having these sugars just in a liquid without any fiber?
Well, they enter into your bloodstream very rapidly and therefore are broken down and digested. If it's fructose, it's going directly to your liver. And at the liver, it's then converted into a fat, and it can lead to a more fatty liver, and it can also interfere in insulin sensitivity, which therefore is going to affect our blood sugar levels. And if we can't get the sugar out of our blood, then we have a high blood sugar, which causes damage to our kidneys and blood vessels.
Hmm. So, you know, when I think of the word fructose, I think of fruit. And is it better sugar for you?
Well, certainly eating fructose coming from fruit is an excellent way of getting some energy, which we need. We know we need to have carbohydrate as a fuel source, but we also want to have the fiber that comes with that fruit. So eating the fruit rather than drinking the juice is a good step. The other thing that you get with eating your fruit is vitamin C and beta carotene and all kinds of phytochemicals that we know can help, you know, protect ourselves from oxidative damage and help slow the aging process and reduce our risk for cancer. So there's so many more benefits that come with it.
Are there cases where, you know, people need to be eating more sugar? Or generally as a population, do we really need to be cutting down on our sugar? And how do we do that?
We absolutely need to be cutting down on our sugar, and the evidence is there in front of us. So in order to get at least closer to the World Health Organization's recommendation, you know, Health Canada is looking at a guideline of 20% of your total calories from sugar. I still think that's too high. If you can get it down to 10 or 15%, that would be great. And one of the ways that you can do that is trying to cook more of your food from home, because a lot of the processed things, you know, even ketchup has sugar in it, bread and sugar cereals, they all have sugar in it. So cooking more from scratch is one way. Also just reducing the amount of sugar that you add to your food, things like syrup and honey, and people think agave is suddenly good for you, but it's not. It's still a high fructose sugar. So reducing what we're adding and maybe thinking, maybe I could add some vanilla or almond extract or some cinnamon or nutmeg to give my food some flavor. We keep thinking that sugar is the taste that we want, but it's just really adding flavor because we're using, you know, unripe tomatoes. So you add some sugar and you've got a tasty tomato sauce. So we don't always need to add all that sugar. Also, I think the number one source of sugar in our diets is these sugar-sweetened beverages. So really getting rid of, and not even bringing them into the house, the pop and the vitamin waters and those sugar-sweetened iced teas and all of those sugar-sweetened juices that have sugar as the first ingredient and there's hardly any juice in there. You know, get rid of those kinds of things. And then snacking on high sugar foods, so the candies and the chocolate. I mean, if you want to have a snack, it's important to eat regularly, but rather than going for a candy, going for an actual food, you know, having a piece of fruit and a yogurt or some vegetables and hummus, we want to make sure our blood sugars are stable, and actually having a snack between your meal can help control your sugar cravings and prevent you from going for that sweet snack.
You know, are there some alternatives to, you know, drinking these pops, or is it just water that you recommend?
Well, water is great. It's calorie-free, or sparkling water also, but I know people get tired of those things. So having a herbal tea, which has no caffeine, and you can even chill your herbal teas so that it's nice and cold in the summer. There are unsweetened dairy beverages and unsweetened almond beverages, like unsweetened almond fresh, which is an almond milk that has no added sugar. And you have to be careful with your beverages. Read those ingredient lists and look at how many grams of sugar are in there. The almond fresh unsweetened only has 35 calories and zero sugar. So that's a really great, refreshing option. And then, you know, coffee doesn't have any sugar in there. You just have to watch the total amount of caffeine that you're getting in your day.
You mentioned that you mentioned healthy cooking and, you know, cooking from home. How do we get in the habit or, you know, of doing that? You know, have we lost that, you know, that tradition?
Well, I think start slow. So if your family's used to eating out five meals a week, then let's just start with one meal at home. And it really, you need to have the food at home and make it convenient. So if you have a little plan, so before I go grocery shopping, I will jot down the five dinners that I'm going to make during the week. And then I will write my grocery list based on that. And I typically will ask the family, you know, hey, should we have some chicken fajitas tonight? Or should we do spaghetti this week? Or how about we all make some homemade pizzas? And so I get some input from the family. I also, the only way that I learned how to cook was to do it. And so I get my kids to help me out in the kitchen, and they're getting old enough that, you know, eventually I'm going to have them do one meal a week, and they'll really have gained some skills that will be lifelong, and they'll be able to eat well in the future. Research shows that families that eat together eat better. So the more you can encourage your family to sit down and have a meal, even if it's just eating breakfast together, people will tend to make better food choices when they're eating as a family.
Actually, I think that there was a study out, just came out last week, that it said that children that eat, sit down and eat in a with a family in an environment that's non-toxic, basically, you know, that you're not fighting at dinner time.
Yeah.
That they're actually healthier and they eat less.
And they have a healthier body weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they tend to eat more vegetables and fruit at those meals as well. We tend to choose to have more of a balanced meal when you're sitting down at your plate and you can see all of those things. I always encourage families to have at least 3 out of the 4 food groups at your meal, maybe even all 4 if you can. And always having 1 green and 1 orange vegetable on the plate.
You know, what happens when people or families sit down in front of the TV and eat?
Well, you're distracted, so you're no longer paying attention to those hunger and fullness cues, and we tend to be able to eat past the point of being full and then realize that we're actually stuffed. So I really think it's important to turn off the TV, sit and have conversation. Don't push your kids to try and, you know, finish everything on their plate. Allow them to recognize when they're full and satisfied, and just have great, happy conversation that's not related to the food.
We're talking with Diana Steele. She's a registered dietitian and the owner of Eating for Energy. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to find out more about sugar and health and food.